Today's gospel reading comes from the 14th chapter of John. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may go ahead. All right. So I believe the Spirit, you know, we've talked about this, or I've talked with the kids just now about the Spirit being about life and breath, and I truly believe that. That's the essence of, you know, we're made in the image of God, and part of that image is being filled with God's Spirit, the Spirit of life. So let's everybody take a breath again, and then let it out. That's how we know we have the Spirit in us. Whether you have faith or not, that's life, is breath. So, I want you to think for a moment with me. So I'm at Grace Harbor at the hospital as a chaplain in the ER, and two people come into the ER. One person has a heart attack, 42-year-old man, and when he comes into the hospital, he's dead upon arrival, people trying to revive him, trying to get him going. You know, if you've ever been in an ER or ever been in that situation, things are very intense because you're trying to bring a person back to life because they don't have any breath in them. That same day, a two-month-old girl comes in. Same thing. No life in her. Ragdoll. Comes in. They're reviving, trying to bring her back to life. The question is, who lives? Who should live? Two people come in. Who should live and why? Now, I bring that up because I think part of living is we ask those why questions. But the reality is, the why question, that's not our question. It's a question we have because we are made in the Spirit of God. And we ask the why question all the time. But that's God's question. The why question of life is God's question. I believe the life of the Spirit being life, is about how. The Spirit is about the how of life. That's what I want to talk about today. Not the why, the how. How does the Spirit work in life? How do we take those breaths? What does it mean? What does it look like? So I think it's not about why, but about how. So for me, I think it's about love. That's the first thing. In the Gospel of John, Jesus talks a lot about love, and that's how people will know us. It's kind of like when I think of love, I think of maybe the shoe tying stance. If you see someone, at least when I see someone with an untied shoe, I just want to at least tell them. And if they, you know, if they have a hard time reaching down there, I want to reach down there and do it. So you know, I'm at Safeway yesterday. I'm getting some stuff because our son is confirmed. So we're going to have, you know, a little party after at our house. And I'm in Safeway and I'm sitting in the car, and let's just say I may have dozed for a second as I'm sitting there. And suddenly I get a knock on the door, and it's a young woman, and she says, "Hey, can you give me a jump?" You know, because her car didn't start. So it's like, oh, okay. And then she goes back to her car. In the meantime, her companion gets out and said, "Well, we can push it and do this." And, you know, I'm slowly getting, because I'm a little waking up, I'm slowly heading over there. And then this guy comes shooting out as he can see that they're starting to push the car. And it's just a random person, you know. But it's that shoe-tying stance. It's the spirit of life, of helping, of you know, wanting good things for people. And he just, that good Samaritan impulse that we have. And he just shoots right there and he helps push it. And the car starts, you know. And I was, you know, 20 feet away. I just saw all this happen. That's part of what life is. That's how life works. So that's one thing I think about. I wrote down, our neighbor is our neighbor. I think sometimes in life and with the Spirit and how things work, we try to complicate things. I mean, who is our neighbor? Well, it's our neighbor. It's anybody. It's anybody. It's the person in the parking lot who needs her car pushed. It's your sister. It's that person you hate. It's that troubling uncle or aunt or cousin or niece or nephew. It's that happy person. Our neighbor is our neighbor. I was at our synod. Instead of having a synod assembly every year where all the churches gather in our area, the 96 churches in the Southwest Synod, we had an educational opportunity. And the bishop came and preached at that event, which was at Gloria Day. And one of the things he pointed out about when we celebrate communion, he said, Augustine, this is what Augustine said, an early church father in 400. He said this about the bread. Behold what you are. Become what you receive. And this is about the bread. You know, we always break the bread. And bread really doesn't become bread until it's broken and eaten. Then it becomes the bread of life. In the same way that when we hear scripture, Luther said, these words are dead words on a page until they're read and until they're proclaimed, till life comes in to them. Behold what you are. Become what you receive. In the Romans reading, there's a little part about adoption and being adopted. I always take note of when that comes up because, you know, I'm an only child, so I take note of everything that relates to me, I guess, but that's just how it goes. But there's this if you haven't been adopted, you haven't experienced this moment. So as I grew up in school, people would say, if they saw with my mother, like, you know, occasionally, "Oh, you look so much like your mother," you know. And I've just always thought, well, that may be, but, you know, that's not the kind of relationship that my mother and I began with. But family is family, it turns out, just like neighbor is neighbor. And it turns out water is thicker than blood. That when you're adopted into God's family through baptism, through faith, through confirming your faith like some students are going to do today, being part of this family, you're in. And you're always in. And that's how it works in life. The final piece is about death. And this is what Gail Ramshaw says. She's a liturgical person, but she always has interesting words. And she says this about Pentecost, because it's a celebration every year. She says, "Countless people want to hear once again the stories of their ancestors. To prepare the feast also this year, to join with others in hope that a benign power will guide their future, to face life with wisdom and death without fear." And that got me thinking about death and life, and coming back to the ER. Because in the ER, at least for those two people, that's what it was about. It was about death and life. And it turned out in the ER that day, the person that came back to life in a miraculous, 27 minutes later, was the 42-year-old. And he spent 3 days alive and then died again to get his affairs in order, to talk through how it could work with his kids, to be able to talk with his spouse. Now, not everybody gets that. But that's a case of a second chance. But the Spirit is about life. It's about life and death, not life and death, but death and life. The seeds of hope from resurrection. That's what leads us and guides us and helps us to take another breath and another breath, to tie someone's shoe, to love our family, to love our neighbor, to go where the Spirit goes. The Spirit is about how life is, and it's now, and it's fantastic. Thanks be to God. Amen.